Global shipping is not normal again, and two of the world's biggest carriers are proving it by making opposite decisions about the Red Sea. Maersk says it will resume using the Suez Canal and the Red Sea for one of its major services linking the Middle East and India to the U.S. East Coast on a selective basis. At the same time, CGM says it will continue diverting ships away from Suez on three major routes, citing ongoing uncertainty in the region. That split tells us something very important. There is no industry consensus that the Red Sea is open in a normal, dependable way. For much of 2024 and 25, the Red Sea was an exclusion zone, forcing ships to bypass the Cape of Good Hope. This diversion added 10 to 20 days to many voyages between Asia and Europe or the U.S. East Coast. The current situation is a two-track system, not a complete resumption of normal traffic. Some shipping lines are cautiously reintroducing services through the Suez Canal, while others maintain full diversions. Consequently, two identical containers heading in the same direction can now experience vastly different transit times, costs, insurance conditions, and schedule reliability, all depending on the selected carrier and service you book. This development is significant beyond just the freight market. It has major implications for risk management and planning. For T, it matters immediately. T is not perishable, but it is sensitive to time, heat, moisture, and container dwell. It's also tied to blending schedules, packing runs, promotions, and private label commitments. In a two-track routing world, transit times become ranges, not dates. Arrival planning becomes probabilistic, not precise. And buffer inventory becomes strategic, not optional. This is especially relevant for black tea, which is moving out of South Asia and East Africa into Europe and North America. Business Insight. Global shipping is not back to normal, and this week the two biggest carriers in the world proved it by doing opposite things in the Red Sea. That tells you everything. There is no single planning assumption anymore. For T, this isn't just a freight issue. It's an inventory issue, contract issue, a risk management issue. We're in a two-track logistics world now. This isn't normal. It's managed volatility. The East Africa tea market opened in 2026 with strong volumes and broad buyer participation at the Mombasa tea auction. But the more important story is not how much tea was sold, it's which tea is being rewarded. The first major Mombasa sale of 2026 moved about 8.4 million kilograms of tea and attracted 48 buyers from international markets. Kenya accounted for the bulk of the offering, and major buyers included Global Tea, Chai Trading, LAB International, and Mitchell Kotz. From a supply and logistics standpoint, this confirms that East African production and market access remain resilient. But the auction also showed selective demand. Of the nearly 144,000 packages offered, almost 28,000 remained unsold. That's a reminder that the clearance is no longer automatic. Buyers are choosing carefully. The market is now clearly quality sorted. Well-made, consistent teas are being defended. Average or inconsistent teas are facing price pressure or no bids at all. Producers and market leaders are increasingly talking about premiumization. Not as a branding story, but as a manufacturing discipline. The idea is simple. Better processing, better sorting, better specs, better prices. Business Insight. East Africa's auction system is liquid, but it's no longer forgiving. In 2026, factories will not be rewarded for how much they ship, but for how consistently well they make their tea. Volume is not the strategy. Price realization is. That's the market talking. TBiz Mongolia-based correspondent Manbayar Badarch writes that Taiwan 7-Eleven's new tea bar format has hit scale. In Taiwan, 7-Eleven's cafe reserve and tea bar format has now surpassed 500 stores, marking a meaningful scale-up of fresh tea drinks within one of the most developed convenience retail markets in the world. This format isn't just a corner of the store add-on. It integrates automated brewing systems, sugar and ice control, and a wide menu of customizable tea beverages engineered to deliver consistency and convenience at volume. This build-out comes as President Chain's Store Corp, which is the owner of 7-Eleven Taiwan, reports December 2025 consolidated revenue of $964 million USD. That's about 30.5 billion new Taiwan dollars, a record sum. While the company does not disclose category-level revenue splits, industry benchmarks for Taiwan convenience retail typically place fresh beverages like coffee, tea, and related drinks in the low to high teens as a share of store turnover. Applying a conservative 12 to 18% range implies that beverages likely account for roughly 115 to 170 million USD per month in system-wide sales at the current scale. Even at the low end of that range, this positioned beverages and increasingly tea-based formats as one of the most economically significant and strategically leveraged categories in the 7-Eleven Taiwan retail model. What's happening in Taiwan matters for the global tea trade for one clear reason. Large retail platforms like this push demand towards leaf that is highly consistent, process-ready, and spec-aligned across hundreds of locations. Business insight. For exporters, producers, and global brands, the lesson is this. The future of tea growth lies where systems meet scale, in places where the drink is standardized, automated, and repeatable, not just where the tea leaf is romanticized. That's the demand signal coming out of Taiwan.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.